Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Please, Psalms 105. Today I'm going to be doing a one-time message entitled, The Secret Power of Memories. The Secret Power of Memories. I want to tie this in with the communion that we'll be receiving in just a few moments. Psalms 105, verse 5. Are you there? Amen. Let's read it together. It says, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. In other words, this scripture is telling us as God's children that we'd remember what God has said to us and done for us. That's a big deal. We had to remember what God has both said to us and done for us. This is so important because you've heard me say this before. I want to reiterate it, that the devil, our enemy, is very good at getting us to think on and remember the things that we're to forget. You know, things like the sins that we have repented of. How about our past mistakes? The devil is wonderful at getting us to remember our past mistakes and our failures. The disappointments that we have had in our life. He currently plans to hit the replay button on that in our minds. All of which produces feelings of unworthiness. And the truth is, we cannot walk by faith and feelings at the same time. What we must do is walking by faith, not by how we feel. Amen. But feelings of unworthiness usually come because of wrong thinking. And the devil would love for us to focus our thoughts here. So I'm going to say this again. The devil is really good at getting us to remember the things that we're to forget and getting us to forget the things that we're to remember. How many know that we're to remember what God has said to us? Because what God has said to us in his word is always our answer. And what God has done for us. How many has God done any good thing for? The good things that have happened to us, God doesn't want us to store them away, never to remember them anymore. These memories have power. Amen. Which you'll find out about today. And what God has said and done, the good things that have happened to us, the answered prayers. How many has Eve ever answered prayers to? The miracles that he has performed in life. I'm going to remind you of some of those today. And in the victories that he has performed in our lives. How many have ever experienced any victories? And his goodness to us in our lives. These are the things that the devil wants us to forget, but God wants us to remember. Psalms 105, verse 5, again it says, remember, everybody say remember, his marvelous works that he has done and his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. In other words, remembering his marvelous works, the secret, in other words, this is the secret power of memories. Remembering what God has said and what God has done for us. So let's take a moment and look at this part. There's two parts, what God has said and what God has done. And obviously, we could spend much time about what God has said. Let's take a moment here and think about this one moment. The secret power of memories is remembering what God has said. We should begin everything with this. We should ask ourselves about everything that we're confronted about in our lives when it comes to us and it confronts us. How many know that we have things that confront us? Issues and problems and circumstances. And everything that confront us is not always issues and problems. How many know there's times that's just direction that we need? But what we should be asking ourselves is, what does the Word of God say about this? That's the very first thing that we should be asking ourselves about, and we should address everything from that place. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. It gives us a great example of this as the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, is talking to his young minister that he's training, Timothy. And he says, "But continue thou in the things that you've learned and been assured of, and knowing of whom you have learned them." In other words, having to know that God has taught us some things, what God has said to us in His Word. And he goes on in verse 15, it says, "And that from a child they have known the Holy Scriptures." See, he just wasn't taught anything. Paul is reminding him that from a child you've been taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. We are to remember, just like Paul reminded Timothy, we are to remember the Word of God that we have been taught. Amen. In other words, it must be part of our remembrance. It must be part of our thought process. What we go back to and continue in is called meditation. It's what we think on a regular and a repeated means. Because it's what we do not once in a while, it's what we do all the time. What are we doing with our minds? And we have been talking about this last year, so this is nothing new to us. But our thoughts and the meditation of our thought in our heart needs to be upon what God has said to us. This is so important. When we do, then what we find out is that God's Word becomes our instructors. And God's Word become our teacher. And when that happens, then we're guarded because we're protected. When God's Word becomes our instructor and becomes our teacher, or instructors and teachers, then we are in a place of protection because we have known the Word, and we ask ourselves, what does God's Word say about this situation? And then in life, like many of you young people have experienced, not just young people only, but any of us, you know, I'm not against education. I'm all for education. God's for education. But don't let your head get educated at the expense of your heart. Amen. In other words, we need to judge everything we learn by the Word of God. And wonderful that we have book sense, and we need to have a certain amount of book sense, but you need to have God sense above all else. Amen. And so both are right, but when we know God's Word, we don't get tripped up, because God's Word, our instructors, are our teachers, because we remember what God's Word has said. We put that first, and then when ungodly people who don't know God, and when they begin to tell you their theory and why there's no God, you're not confused or moved by what they say, but you have answers because you have the truth. So you're not concerned when somebody challenges your belief on God, or say there is no God, or propagate some theory on you because you've been settled and you have answers in the Word. Let's look at just we could spend the rest of the time just looking at verses like this today. But really quick, let's look at a few things that answer that if we have these things in our heart. Psalms 102 verses 25 through 27 says this: "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth." God did. There ain't no big bang. God did it. God said it, and it was. "And the heavens are the works of His hands." When we understand this, we don't let nothing move us. "They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. They will be changed, and they will be and they will be changed." Go on in verse 27. It says, "But you are the same, and your years have no end." Psalms 24, verses 1 and 2. We'll do this pretty quick. It says this, Psalms 24, verse 1 and 2. "The earth is the Lord's and its fullness." I mean, God created it. Hallelujah, glory to God, "and the world and those who dwell therein." Verse 2, "And He hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Psalms 93 verses 1 and 2 says, the Lord reigned, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, he girded himself with strength. Sure, the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Verse 2 says, and your throne is established from old, and you are from everlasting. Well, where did God come from? He's God. He's from everlasting. You don't let that mess with your head. By faith, we understand this. We understand him. We understand that what he said, this has been performed. Amen. And Proverbs 3, verse 19 goes on and says, when we know the truth, we're not shaken. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. And by understanding, he established the heavens. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 2, verse 1 and 2, it says it like this. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, look what happens, verse 2. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Skip to verses 10 through 12, and it says this. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, and verse 12 says, to deliver you from the way of evil and from the man who speaks perverse things, like there is no God or all those kind of things, or prove to me there's a God. My Bible doesn't tell me I have to prove that there's a God. My Bible tells me to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believes shall be saved. Amen. And so the Word of God, when we understand these things, we understand that the Word of God is divinely inspired. Matter of fact, we'll go on and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where we had left off from verse 15. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction of instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good work. In other words, God's word is divinely inspired. According to, write this down, according to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, God says, this is how you know I'm God and my word is divinely inspired. I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. That's what God said. And so we find there's approximately a little over 300 prophecies that have been fulfilled on Christ's first coming. There is no religious book that is prophetic except the Bible. Matter of fact, somewhere between 1/4 and 1/3 of your Bible is prophetic. It's prophecy. In other words, God said it and he performs it. And God says, this is how you know I'm God. I will tell you the end from the beginning. This is how you know the word is divinely inspired. And for every one promise of his first coming that's been fulfilled, there's like 8 more promises for every one of those promises concerning his second coming. And how many know they'll all be fulfilled just like he said? So when we understand that, then we allow that to minister at our heart. I think about King Solomon, and write this down in 1 Kings chapter 8, when he stood and he prayed over the children of Israel at the dedication of the temple. And he said, along about verse 56, you can just write it down. He said, there has not failed one word of all your good promise. Hallelujah. Not one word of all your good promise. And if it didn't fail them, it won't fail us. But we got to remember what he said. We got to remember what he said, and we remember it because it's to affect what we believe and how we live. When we let it affect how we live, then we know we believe it, because only it works for those that believe. God made it that way. So once again in Psalms 105, verse 5, it says, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. So we talked about the judgments of his mouth is what he has said. Let us talk about his wonders for a moment. Let's talk about his wonders and what he has done. Are you ready for that? So now, we talked about briefly about what he said. Because if you know what he said, you're not going to be moved by what somebody else has said. You're not going to be moved by your circumstance or situation. You'll bring it back to what he has said, and you address everything from that place. Can I get amen? But we always need to go back and remember what he has done as well. Did you know that Israel, the nation of Israel, I know I'm talking fast today, but you're listening really fast. Praise God. Wake up your neighbor and say, you don't want to miss this. Praise the Lord. Now, Israel, did you know they had 36, in the Old Testament, they had 36 memorials to remind them of God and, in other words, not to forget God and what he had done for them. They built memorials. They did that so that that generation wouldn't forget and they'd have something to pass on to the future generation to say, God did this here to us. You don't need to forget it. We're going to tell you about it. Amen. Because what God did then, he wants to do again. Hallelujah. They had 36 of them. Hallelujah. That's recorded in the Bible. However, this is so important because we need to remember what God has said and what he's done. Has God done anything for anybody in here? When's the last time you thought about it? Do you hide it away like in the sock drawer and say, oh, I forgot that? Or do you bring it out and often remember? There's a reason why. Because the secret power of memories has power both then and now. And we're going to talk about that's what we're talking about today. But the problem with Israel, even though they had 36 memorials, just like is our same problem. Psalm 78 is a discourse that contains 72 verses. How many know that would be one of the longer chapters in the Bible? Think about it. 72 verses, and in its entirety, it shows how Israel forgot what God had said and done for them and delivered them out of Egypt. 72 verses in Psalm 78. Do some homework. Read that. All those verses go through about how Israel actually forgot what God said and what God done for them. Let me give you two examples. Psalm 78:11 says, they forgot his works and wonders that he had showed them. They forgot them. They forgot. And when you forget what God has done, his works in your life, just like them, you do something else. And then, let's look at another example. I'm doing this quick. In verse 42, it says, there in Psalm 78, it says, they remembered not his hand. That means his power. They remembered not his power. They remembered not his power, nor the day he delivered them from the enemy. This whole chapter is a warning of forgetting what God has said and done and what happens when we do. How many know it did not go well for the children of Israel when they forgot what God had said to them to instruct them and what God had done for them? When they forgot it, there was bad things that happened to them. Not because God is mean, but because we neglect what God has done for us and the power that moves us by the secret power of our memories. Now, we convert this back or bring this over to us today, and even though the very things that happened to Israel all are types and shadows, to teach us according to Romans 15 and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. All these things are example to us. Israel is an example to us as the church of what to do and not to do. Amen. In this case, what not to do. And then we have this warning in Hebrews chapter 2. Read with me verses 1 through 4. Here's what it says. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Everybody say the things we've heard. In other words, the things that God has said. Lest at any time we should let them slip. See, you think that it's just Pastor Chris speaking right now. And in one sense, that would be true. It is. But whenever I speak what God's word says, God says, I would appreciate that if you take it him speaking to you and I. Because that's when it has power. That's when it has power. That's when it works for us. Therefore, amen. In other words, for this reason, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things. One translation says, we must be more careful to follow the things which we have heard or been taught, one translation says, lest at any time we let them slip. One translation says, lest we stray from them or drift from the truth. Heaven to know we have a problem when we break anchor. We start adrifting. For if the word spoken by angels, verse 2, was steadfast, that means true, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In other words, how shall we escape if we forget this so great of a salvation, which the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, here's all the works, and the divers miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. He said right here that we have to be careful, because if we're not careful, if we stop thinking about as so great a salvation. Here's why. Because what's real to you will be real through you. I have a great concern of people that never talk about their salvation. I have a great concern of people that never use what God has done for them in a testimony or share it with anyone. I don't do this because I'm a pastor. I do this because I'm a Christian. And I know what God has told us to do, how this keeps alive, and how it's designed not just to change me and keep me fresh, but to bring change to other people. And it's the part of the secret power of our memories. Amen. It's not a one and done thing. My salvation is realer to me today than it was 38 years ago, because I know more of it. And it's called a so great of a salvation. Isn't it? So great of a salvation. So great of a salvation. And if it's not so great of a salvation, if you don't understand what that means, maybe we need to take enough time, because surely if you come here, you hear me talk about these kind of things, because the word salvation is an all-inclusive Greek word that is from the word soteria or sozo, which actually means not just salvation or saved. It means healing. It means preservation. It means wholeness. It means deliverance. It means completeness. Come on. It means God's total provision for us. And we have to understand this is what the word salvation means. And this is why it's so great a salvation. It is great as it is to shun hell and make heaven at home. It's wonderful to know that. It is even more wonderful to know the depths of its meaning. And we should not let it slip. Amen. Our salvation should never get old or be old news, but kept fresh and alive to us, because the greatest miracle that you have is when you have been born again. We need to remember our salvation. Do you remember when you got saved? Do we need to remember our salvation and the miracles? How many has God ever done any miracles for? In other words, outside of God, it couldn't have happened. You need to remember the miracles and the great answers to prayer. Do we just sweep them under the rug as if they never happened? Or do we actually think about them? The great answers to prayer that God has done and the things that he's done for us. We need to do things like this. We need to journal them. We need to journal it. We need to rehearse it in our mind. Think about it. Tell it. Share it with others often. We need to do those things. What God has done for us is best remembered when we do something to remember it. This is why many of you journal things that God has said. Maybe most definitely the miracles and things, but many of you journal, write things down that God has said to you. Wonderful. And God has done for you. Wonderful. And you need to frequent those things. Think on them, revisit them, and be sharing them. You know, I think a great example of this is David did this. David did this. He did and remembered and rehearsed when he faced his greatest challenge as a 17-year-old. When Goliath stared him in his face, mocked his God, he got hot and he said this, I remember what God did for me with the bear and the lion, and that uncircumcised giant will be just like them. Now, I can tell you, I guarantee that all of a sudden just didn't come back to him. I guarantee when he was on the backside there, away from the battle, and he went out and delivered the cheese to his brothers, who his brothers said, "You just a nosy nobody coming to see what's going on." But when he heard the armies of the living God being defied by a big mouth giant, he had something to say about it. And it was more to it about the 5x7 glossy the men showed him of the woman that he was going to, the king's daughter who he could have. Come on. It was more than the 5x7 glossy. You remember they said you'll be free, the man who delivers them be free from taxes and marry the king's daughter. That young man, he thought more about that than just that. He remembered what God, that was just added bonus, but he remembered. Because I'm sure when he was keeping his father's sheep, he was that the very first psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that he did were when he was keeping the sheep. And I'm sure he had some songs about the killing of the bear and the lion, had God delivered them in his hand and worked a miracle there. And then when Goliath showed up, he was not only ready for Goliath, but if you remember, he had 5 smooth stones. He had 4 more for his 4 ugly brothers. Goliath, that is. This is the secret power of memories. Turn with me today to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, please. Mark chapter 8, we want to read this story here. Mark chapter 8, you can write all these verses down and go home and read all of them. Verses 1 through 21 is the story of the miracle of Jesus feeding 4,000 people. Today, what I like to do is, for time's sake, not read this whole story. I'm not going to read the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000, but I want to pick up the story that happened after the miracle. Because miracles are made to be remembered. The secret power of memories is that what God has done, God is reminding us, if he's God, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. And as we remember what he said and he has done, then our faith is in that, then God can do it again. Say it, God can do it again. But that's the secret power of memories. So we're going to pick up here in this story of Mark chapter 8. And the good thing about this is it teaches us there's hope for us all. Hallelujah. Having to know that his disciples walked with him and they were not perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, now I know there's hope for you. Praise the Lord. There's hope for us all in here today, because if his disciples weren't perfect and he didn't condemn them, he just tried to get them to the place where they understood what he was trying to do and convey with them, so they were not stuck and they actually could get from God what God intended for them to have. But they had many ups and downs, and Jesus is always for them and always there, compassionate, just like he is with us, because we can hear things like this and say, oh my God, there can be 100 things going through our mind today, and all of them the devil will try to make sure that you remember every wrong thing and everything that ain't good and where you missed that. God is wanting to take in you to remember, to forget that, get that under the blood, and then move forward and make the in-course corrections and remember the right things. What God has said and done. Now we pick up in verse 14 and it says, now the disciples have forgotten to take bread. Everybody say forgotten. So in other words, they fed the 4,000 and they had all the fit, they had these baskets left over bread. And the first thing that this says is, now the disciples have forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, Jesus said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now there's a lot we could say here, but we won't for time's sake. And they reason among them, saying, is it because we have no bread? We forgot the bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive you not, neither understand. Have your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, And do you not remember? Everybody say, do you not remember? I wonder what he's talking about there. How many know it's the miracle that he just did, the feeding of the 4,000? Don't you just remember that I fed 4,000? And you worried about because you left the bread. And when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets of fragrance that you took up? And they said, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragrance you took up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Woo! Notice here, he said, notice in verse 17, he says, perceive you not, ye neither understand, have your hearts been hardened? And you skip back down to verse 21, and he asks it again, how is it that you do not understand? But here's the real thing is in verse 18, he asks the question, do you not remember? See, have you forgotten? In other words, what he's saying is, have you forgotten the miracle that I just did? Matter of fact, it ain't just one. It was more than one. I showed you two. Amen. Have you forgotten that I did those miracles? In other words, have you forgotten I'm able to do this again? Come on. He's talking to us all in here today. To anybody who's ever done a miracle too, God is reminding us, have you forgotten I'm able to do this again? Amen. Praise God. The disciples were forgetting the fragments of bread. In other words, let me say it like this. The memory of the miracle of what just happened. They forgot the miracle. Forgetting the miracle of God has already done is a sign of a hardened heart. And a sure sign you forgot he is still the God of miracles. We don't need to forget he's a God of miracles. We don't need to forget that what he's done, because what he did before, he'll do again. Listen, consider it like this. Memories, everybody say memories. Memories are like the fragments of bread. Memories are the, so to speak, the leftovers. We take with us after the miracle and bring them home with us, never to forget about them. I'm going to say it again. Memories are the leftovers. They're like the fragments of the bread that we take home with us after the miracle. And bring them home with us. Memories are powerful. So powerful. They can build. See, in other words, when we remember the fragments of bread, that was to remind them that God did this before. God can do it again. It's the memories of the miracles. But God is a living God. Not just then, now. And so what we understand here is that when we come to a place in a life that we're confronted with something, memories, the secret power of memories is we remember the God of miracle is the same God. And the miracle he did then, he can do now. Matter of fact, we just got to know what his word said, and we need to remember the things that he did, because memories are powerful. They're so powerful, they can build confidence in us later. In other words, this is why the secret power of memories is we don't need to forget what God has done, because what if we're thinking about them, we're rehearsing them, and we remember what God has done, amen, it's not to say that he could never do it again. It's saying God will do the same thing again. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and it builds confidence in us later. When we remember what God has done, it builds confidence us for later. Because how many know that God, if God, how many get that know that, how many, let me ask you this question. How many has God ever come through financially with? Something with. All right. Then you need to have that memory of what miracle or what God has done there, so that that builds confidence that when you have a need like that again or any need, God is saying through that memory, it builds confidence in you that God will do it again. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Miracle memories are powerful, so powerful they can encourage us later. Woo! Because here's a good example of this in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it's where David was at Ziklag. And if you remember, all his wives and children, and all his mighty men's wives and children had been taken captive, and the city was burned. They returned to Ziklag to see this, and all his men turned on him and thought about stoning him. Write it down, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Look it up. And when they all wept, they couldn't weep no more. And then they thought about stoning David. David, here's what it said. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know what he began to do? He remembered what God had done before. Instead of griping and complaining of what happened, he remembered what God had done before. And it encouraged his heart. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And God wrought another miracle. How many know that memories are powerful, so powerful they can calm more storms later, because all of us have storms. Matter of fact, in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus began, he told the parable of the sower. He had told them this mighty parable in teaching them, and then he said, get into the boat and go to the other side. And he fell asleep because he was resting in knowing that he's going to the other side. But having to know, a mighty storm came. And they should have remembered the miracle story that he was telling them about how to address it, but they forgot it. And so Jesus had to rise up and say, oh, you a little faith. He rebuked the storm. I'm letting you know today, memories can calm more storms later. If you ever had a storm, I've had some, and I was reminded the other day that God calmed the storm before. He'll calm it again. Memories are powerful, so powerful, they can forgive us later. In other words, we come to a place where we missed it and remember, oh my God, that's not half as big as what that was. And God said, he'll be merciful to our unrighteousness and our sins and our iniquities, he will remember no more. So we know that if we confess our sin, God's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Memories remind us that God is faithful to forgive if we repent and return to him. And he wipes away the sin, it makes us white as snow. Come on, can I get amen? Memories are powerful, so powerful they can heal us later. In other words, we remember that God says, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, and if he healed me before, hallelujah, when we're attacked in body again, we remember what he did before, and it can heal us later, knowing that as we remember what he did then, he's faithful then, he's faithful now. Can I get amen? The greatest miracle and bread basket that you have is when you were born again and when you were saved. Come on. But you need to journal or write down the miracles. This one in particular, but there should be more. And what God has said to you, the promises that he's made and he's performed, what he has done, and go back over. I know I've said this before, but go back over, review, think deeply on, reflect. Pull out the fragments that you need again. Come on, pull out the fragments that you need again, bless God, and that show you what God did, he'll do it again for you. I can tell you when we don't, I think about this story often, where in 1 Kings chapter 3, I believe it is in chapter 9. It's either 3 and 8 or 3 and 9. It says that God appeared unto Solomon. He appeared to him. And he blessed him with wisdom. Not only did he bless him with wisdom, he said, I'm going to bless you with wisdom and understanding. And matter of fact, the things that you didn't seek for, like finances and the favor of God, that's going to come because you sought after the wisdom, the understanding of the heart of God, how to help people, how to lead properly. He says, because you did it like this, I'm going to do the other for you because I love you. And then After in, I believe it's in chapter 8, where he prayed and blessed the temple, it says that night that God appeared to him the second time. And then we find in chapter 9, I believe it is, that here's what it said. It rebuked Solomon because he sinned against God and he forgot that God had appeared to him twice. You know what? If it's journaled for us so that we know that he should have journaled. He should have been thinking on. He should have been talking about. He should have been revisiting in his mind those two visions that God gave him. And in those visions that God gave him, one of the things he said, don't go after foreign gods. If you go after foreign gods, I'll forsake you. I'll forsake the people. And that's exactly what he went over. He married all these foreign wives and he went after foreign gods. He forgot what God had said. But I'm submit to you, this is why, oh my God, this is why we've got to think about what God has said. We got to think about what God has done. We got to tell others what God has done for us. We need to share our salvation. We need to share and talk about it often so that we do not forget it. Because when we forget it, bad things happen. Now let me tell you something. If it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to us. I'm trying to stir you up today for what we're talking about today. Amen. The secret power of memories. Memories are powerful, so powerful that they can be used to, listen, can be used to cause others to be encouraged later. Because there's going to be a time that you meet with other people and they're going to need to be encouraged. And you can share, this is what God has done for me. I can tell you what God has done for me. He wants to do for you. Memories are powerful, so powerful, they can be used to get others, cause others to be saved later. In other words, you share your salvation and say, look, what God has done for me, he's not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith. Here's how you get saved. Here's what he's done for me. And he wants to do for you. Come on. That's the power, the secret power of memories. But memories are powerful, so powerful, they can be used to cause others to be filled later. Just like you were filled and you remember. Had a man in this congregation stand to me the other night and said, Pastor Chris, everything changed in my life when I got filled. I got saved and my life got changed. But where I really changed was that night on a Wednesday night. I didn't even preach that night. The Lord said, give an altar call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, if you're here on Wednesday nights, it's 1 hour of teaching. That was the Holy Ghost. And that said that. We had like eight men come. All eight men come and got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. I gave it for everybody. Eight men came out of this congregation, stood right here and got filled with the Holy Ghost. That man said to me, Pastor Chris, keep telling people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that moment from there, that changed everything. That made everything more alive and more real to me. And let me tell you something, what's real to you is real through you. And now he used that secret power of memories, because what God did for him, it'll cause you to share it with others, and God will do it for them. Come on. Cause others to be filled later. Memories are powerful, so powerful, they can be used to cause others to be healed later, because you begin to share what God has healed you, how he's touched your body, and how he will encourage them, how God wants to touch their bodies as well. You see the secret power of memories. Hallelujah. Communion has to do with the secret power of memories as well. As well as remembering what God has said and done to us. That's what it's about. Luke 22, verse 19 and 20, before we receive communion this morning. And he took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Notice if we draw attention back to verse 19 for a moment, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Another translation says it like this, do this in remembrance of me. So we're remembering. It's got to be a secret power of remembrance, of a memory today. Remembering what he said and done, what this means to us. New Living Translation says, Jesus said, do this to remember me. Passion Translation says, always eat it to remember me. In other words, every time we take it, what we're doing is we're remembering him. And if we appropriate it correctly, then it has the secret power of our memories. Weiss translation says, this keep on doing. This keep on doing in my memory. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, Paul said it like this. For I have received of the Lord that which is also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Woo! Secret power of memory. Of our memories. Remembering what he did. What he said and what he's done for us. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. In other words, we are to remember what his body and blood has done for us and appropriate it correctly. We're to remember what the death, burial, and resurrection has done and all that it has provided. Let me remind us in Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. One translation says, don't forget a single blessing. Amen. Don't forget a single blessing. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I say glory be to God. I think about often this in here. I'm going to tell you this. Just write this down. In Galatians chapter 3. See, in other words, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and God dealing with us by the Holy Spirit as we read the Word of God. How many know the words paint pictures? Paul said it like this. He says, I preach to you in such a way. He's talking to the church of Galatia. I'm going to read this one verse in Galatians 3:1 in just a moment. He said, I preach to you in such a way that what happened in the crucifixion was so real to you that you gave your heart to Jesus. Now, what's happened to you? What's happened is you forgot what God has said and done. This is why he rebuked them, the churches of Galatia. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That means who has cast the spell? Who has tricked you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you. In other words, he says, I preached it in such a way that you could see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But because you forgot it, some freeloaders have come in and shared another Jesus, another gospel, which is not a real Jesus and not a real gospel anyway. And because you forgot what God has said and what God has done, you take up something else. Who's cast a spell on you, oh foolish Galatians? So we need, this is the secret power of memories. Because I'm reminding us today that every time we take this, the type in the shadow of the Old Testament is recorded in Exodus 12. Do you know the Passover? The Passover, and there's not enough time to talk about all that, but it's, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Jesus is that Passover lamb. New Testament. Jesus is the Passover. So everything that was recorded in Exodus 12 is a type and shadow. It means something. All of those types and shadows was teaching us what Jesus was actually doing. Have we forgotten? Listen, that according to Acts chapter 7, verse 6, that the children of Israel were in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. They were in Egyptian slavery. They weren't in the Taj Mahal. They were in slavery for 400 years. Have we forgotten that? And the lamb that God told Moses to tell the people to take a spotless lamb, slay that lamb, for one for every house, and apply that blood on the doorpost and the level. When that night, when that death angel came through, God delivered them from that death angel. All those that was not under the blood died and were judged, but those under the blood were protected and delivered. And God not only delivered from the death angel, but God that night led them out. He led them out. Some scholars say they could bet up between 2 and 4 million people. And Psalms 105 says there's not one feeble among them. They left out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among them. You can't take 50 people and have that today. But they did in the type, in the shadow. Then how much more should we in the reality of Christ, that Passover lamb? He delivered us. This is why it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the authority and power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins. No wonder we can say we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. But if we never remember what God has done, this is to remember what God has done. Sometimes we forget that this is why the children of Israel were to keep that Passover meal every year. It reminded them of God's great deliverance. So they wouldn't forget what God had done, because God says, if I did it then, I'll do it again. Because this is who I am. I'm your deliverer. I'm your salvation. I'm your shield and your seed of great reward. Whatever I did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I want to do for all of my people. And God transfers this to us today, not taking anything from them, but adding something better to us, because we have a new covenant based upon better promises than the old. Amen. Hebrews 8:6. And God said that the type and shadow had the power to deliver and to make whole. Have we forgotten that the antitype or the reality of Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, when he died on that cross in the death, this is why he says you do show the Lord's death until he's come. You remember what his death provided? His death provided our life. The shedding of blood meant that he gave his life to redeem us, the innocent for the guilty. Hallelujah. He did that for us so that the powers of darkness were broken and we were actually delivered from spiritual death, delivered from sickness and disease, delivered from poverty, lack, and want. But we must know these things, and we must remember what he said and what he's done and rehearse them. Not just our salvation, but all the things he's done. All because God wants them to be real to us, and we pull them back out in our memories, and they have secret power not only to help us on our next battle, but also help others that are in a battle that we can come and say, hey, I want to remind you that God did this for me. He also did it for you. And so let's believe God together. Come on. Yes. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Come on, Brother Ryan, help me. Matter of fact, the praise and worship team can come at this time. Hallelujah. And help me. So this table provides today maybe even a clearer picture of what we're talking about. It's remembering what he's done for us. The death, the burial, and the resurrection means our victory. Hallelujah. Satan's defeat and our victory. And Jesus won it all for us. Hallelujah. And as remember what he's done, we say, like, say, for instance, when our bodies come under attack, we ask ourselves, first thing, what does the Word of God say about this? In other words, what did God do or say in his Word? What did he say in his Word, or what did he do that could affect a change on that? Well, the first thing I think about is 1 Peter 2:24, who by whose stripes I am healed. By whose stripes I am healed. By whose stripes I am healed. But we must also learn to resist, because the Holy Ghost reminded me today, here's where most people miss it at. It's not they don't know the promise of God, but you and I are like the original Adam. Now, we're not Adam, but you know, in Adam all die, in Christ all made alive. But the original Adam, who didn't have sin before he sinned in the garden, you know, he was to keep the enemy out of the garden. He was to guard it and keep it. How many know he didn't do that? And matter of fact, we read in chapter 3 of Genesis where Adam sinned, but Timothy tells us that it was Adam that sinned. The woman was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what he did when he ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew what he was doing. And that high treason had been passed upon all men. In other words, in Adam all die because sin passed, according to Romans 5:12, passed upon all human race. So we have two great needs. Number one, we have the need of getting rid of this sin nature that we have. We have two problems. We have a sin nature and a separation from God, and we need eternal life. Having to know that Jesus Christ provided both. By receiving Christ, we get rid of the sin nature, and as spirits, we can become new creatures in Christ. And by receiving Christ, we have eternal life. But here's what I'm getting at. So now in Christ, we stand in a sense like Adam. What we must do is resist the serpent that's come into our garden. And it's not that the word of God is not true, but many times what we don't do is stand up against the enemy and say, oh, no, you don't. I've got authority over you. I got authority over you. And we're not weakly yielding the sword of the Spirit, hoping it will work. We realize that we got total authority, and if we don't exercise authority over the devil, nobody else can do that for us. Not fully. We got to keep him out. And the reason we can is because God has provided so great a salvation. And not only saved us, but given us authority. For as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. The authority, the legal right, and the legal might to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Where which Satan works has no authority over us unless we let him. Unless we give up our fight. This is why I need to remember. There's more than one fight you went through that lasted more than 5 minutes. I know it was for me. If it hasn't, you got it real quick answers on everything, just stick around. The day will come that it's going to take more than just a casual stand. It's going to take a firm foundation and a stand to resist the devil and watch him flee. But he will! He will because you remember the power that's in his body and in his blood. The secret power of memories. Before we receive this morning, let's bow our hearts and head.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.